U.S. Senator Jim Risch is joining us from the nation's capital. Senator, is that you?
Neil, it's good to talk to you.
And likewise, Senator, how are you this morning?
Pretty good, pretty good. Nice to win one occasionally, you know. We had a good year last year, but you never know reading the media, but both the Republican majority and the president had a list of accomplishments, I think, that most any president or legislative body would be proud of. I mean, starting with Neil Gorsuch down to the tax reform, through the regulatory reform and the repeals that we did. We took a huge bite out of Obamacare, rolled that back. So, and that's just a start. I mean, we have a long list of things we did. You never hear that,
yeah.
But that's it was a good year. It really was.
Well,
we're starting off this year pretty good too. You know, the D's tried to take over with the government shutdown, and that didn't work for them, obviously. And they were trying to accomplish something that I think everybody wants to get accomplished. It's just how it's going to be done and what the details are going to be.
So, well, let's talk about this government shutdown, because I watched this. This is the first time, at least in my memory, that either an actual government shutdown or a potential government shutdown, the blame largely fell on the Democrats. And I think that Chuck Schumer finally cried uncle and he said, OK, we'll reopen the government. And he ended up voting, I think, 81-18 to reopen it. What was different this time?
Well, they misjudged where the public was. And look, a government shutdown is not a good deal. I want to see a government that's a lot smaller, that regulates a lot, does a lot, taxes less, spends less, borrows less. I want to see that. But shutting down the government isn't how you get there. We were elected to govern, not to not govern. And so you need to keep the thing going. And like it or not, some people say, no, shut it down. And that they say that until, of course, it affects them personally, because everybody has some connection. But in any event, it's not a good way to do things. And they had seen all this polling where a high percentage of people in America think that we ought to do something from a humanitarian basis for the people who are here illegally. That is, that were brought in as children through no fault of their own. And they took that to mean that, and their base, of course, is rabid on that issue. And so they were convinced that the way to do this is to shut down the government. Well, they forgot to ask the second question on the polling, and that is, are you willing to shut down the government to make that happen? And the polls reversed at that point. You know, that people said, "Well, no, but we should do something." Well, and we are headed to do something, but you just can't do it that way.
And that's the thing. I would guess, Senator, that there's probably no elected politician in Washington D.C. that wants to deport the Dreamers. I mean, isn't there consensus that you do want to find a solution that is compassionate, that there's a humanitarian element to this, and there's nothing on the radar screen right now that would lead to a deportation of the Dreamers, or at least deliberately so. Is that right?
Well, not ones that are good, productive members that have lived a crime-free life and are Americans,
right. Yes.
Living as an American like anybody else. The consensus is there to do something about legal status for them. The devil's in the details. Of course, the Democrats want to just hand citizenship to them, and we're not ready to go there. We want to attack the problem, not the symptom. The people that are here are the symptom, and there's no question that it is, from a humanitarian basis, appropriate to evaluate that and see that they get some kind of legal status under appropriate circumstances. But we've got a different focus. We owe the American people, as their elected officials, as their representatives, I owe Idahoans, I owe American people a secure border, period. That's what I owe them. And the people that are here illegally, from a humanitarian basis, I'd like to help. But first, I want to discharge my obligation to Idahoans and the American people, and that is to secure the borders. Because if you don't do that, this problem starts all over again.
Mm-hmm.
The day that, while they're signing the documents, legalizing the people that are here illegally, there'll be people coming in illegally, carrying babies and young dreamers and here you go again, you know. So we've got to if we're going to do that, yeah, let's do it. But let's do the whole thing. Let's secure the borders so that we don't have this off into the future.
Do you think because
and on top of that, yeah. Neil, then you've got and that's simple. That's the simple solution. On top of that, there's three or four more things we need to address. Number one is chain migration. Number two is the diversity lottery. Number three, we do need a workable guest worker program where industries and business can bring people here who will work doing jobs that Americans won't do or can't find people to do. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a complex with a lot of moving parts, but the doc is the one that gets all the publicity.
So the next deadline, because there was a vote to keep the government going for, I think, about 3 weeks. Do you expect that it's going to even get close to a government shutdown in the next, you know, couple of weeks when that deadline hits? Or do you think Chuck Schumer kind of learned his lesson and it was painful enough that that there's actually going to be a good longer term deal that is made?
You know, I think they learned their lesson as far as that's concerned. There is a process in place, and it's taking place right now, to work on the issue and try to move the ball forward. And Mitch McConnell said that if it's not resolved by the 8th, he's going to bring a bill to the floor, and we can vote on amendments on it, change it, do whatever we want to it, and then vote it up or down. But he put a caveat on there. He said, I will only do that if the government is open. And so so they really don't have much choice. If they really want to get to a vote on it, the government's got to stay open. And look, they, as you pointed out, the public wasn't for this. They were passing out, I don't know who it was up there, but somebody in the Capitol was passing out T-shirts. And it said on it, I shut down the government and all I got was this dumb T-shirt. You know, so that was spiking the ball. That wasn't us. It was there were some other people that were doing that. You know?
Yeah. Well, and let me one last question. I know we've talked about this shutdown and the politics of that. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but you mentioned that, you know, the Republican Congress ended on a very, very high note last year, passing the tax reform bill that I think is going to be a fantastic thing. And I think America really likes it. Certainly the business world likes it. And it appeared Trump was negotiating on DACA. He did that before the CNN cameras with Dick Durbin. And this was on track, I think, if you had gotten to a deal on DACA and immigration and those other issues, it would have been another legislative victory, probably credited to Trump and the Republicans. Was there a sense among Democrats that we can't let Trump have another optical victory? We can't let the Republicans in Congress have another victory. And maybe that led to them kind of panicking and leading to this government shutdown. Is that an element there?
Yeah, there is no doubt. And you have your perception is absolutely accurate that the Democrats are just, first of all, they hate Trump. I mean, I've never seen a level of vitriol and hate like there is today for Trump. And they truly do not want him to have any kind of victory at all. If you listen to the speeches on the floor during the shutdown, every time they went out there, they didn't talk about us. They always talked about Trump. And, you know, they've seen Trump's polling as far as his fave unfave. And they really believe they can hang their coattails. They can hold on to those coattails and ride it to victory in November. The one thing I think that everybody's missing here, and I think it's going to pick up, is any president ever who had an economy like this guy's got would pass out from happiness. I mean, it's you know, you got a stock market that's up 8,000 or 9,000 points since he's gotten elected. You've got the lowest unemployment in post-war history. Things are just really cooking. Businesses are opening. They're building everywhere you look. They're building. You can't hire people to do work because they aren't available. Everybody's working, and wages are going up because of the fact that it's hard to get people to work. So, I mean, this is something that the Democrats are really going to have to deal with come fall. Now, admittedly, they can take advantage of Trump's personality and how he presents. But boy, when it comes to what Americans want from their government, you know, the old sign they held up that said, "Hey, it's the economy, stupid." That yeah. goes a long ways, and I think they're going to have a hard time with that. They keep right. they keep trying to demean it. You saw Nancy Pelosi saying, "Oh, this tax reform bill is nothing. They're giving crumbs to the workers. That ain't selling out there.
No, you know,
people get a $1,000 check from their employer. That's it may be crumbs, but it isn't to isn't to the American people."
I wanted to ask you really quick. We have just two or three minutes here. This FBI situation, it maybe assess with the text messages that are now missing, this supposed secret society that existed within the FBI to undermine Trump, first his election and then, you know, once he was president, to undermine him even beyond that. Maybe give us your assessment of the scope of this scandal.
Well, you know, Neil, first of all, I got to be careful. As you know, I'm on the Intelligence Committee, and we deal with this stuff all the time. And most of the stuff that I know about this, I can't talk about. But there's enough out there in the open media that people know that there is a problem here. Why people have issues with their government. This is why people are afraid of their government. This is why people don't like government. And what you have... the stuff that's already been reported indicates there are individuals who are supposed to be in charge of justice who have an axe to grind against somebody, and they are being influenced by their feelings in that regard. Anybody who's in law enforcement, who's in justice enforcement, and who feels that way should be disqualified. They should disqualify themselves, and certainly if they don't disqualify themselves, if there's even an inkling of that, they need to be taken out of the investigation. There's a lot more going to come out on this. It's certainly probably not going to be the finest hour for some people that were involved in this. But look, every day, Americans have to be vigilant to keep the government from running over the top of them.
Yep.
And if they don't, these are the kinds of things that are going to happen. But we're on this. And there's going to be some more shoes falling.
Had a listener, last question here, Senator. And I don't know much about this at all. But he sent me a link to a story about a bill that's in the House. And so again, I don't know how familiar you are with it. But apparently there's a bill in the House that would do a number of things, and among them was to create a national ID card for every American. Is that something you're in support of, or do you know enough about it to speak authoritatively?
Yeah, number one, I do not support that. Number two, I don't know anything about it. Number three, I'll tell you, thousands of bills in the House with thousands of propositions. The vast majority of them that don't go anywhere. That proposition, I heard it before over the years. It's America. We don't do that sort of thing here. And I would be shocked if it went anywhere. But I haven't heard a word about it at all. But
gotcha.
Recently, I've heard about it in years past, but I haven't heard anything about it recently.
All right. Senator Jim Risch joining us this morning from Washington, D.C. Senator, we sure appreciate the time that you give us on a regular basis. Thank you.
Nice to talk to you, Neil.